Good morning and welcome to worship with Westwood Church in Los Angeles. I'm Pastor Molly Vetter and it's my joy to welcome you to worship today. On this Sunday, January 24th, we continue to celebrate the season of Epiphany. And we continue to consider the meaning of words important in our faith tradition as today we look at redefining our faith and as we understand the word follow. I hope that you feel at home where you are, that you take a moment to settle into the space, to sit up tall and plant your feet on the ground, so that we might experience this time, even in dislocation, as a time of connection to God and to one another. We are committed to welcoming all in this space and celebrate the diversity of our congregation as we welcome people of all ages and races, gender identities, and sexual orientations. You are welcome and celebrated in this space. I hope that you will participate from home, even though it feels strange in this time of watching worship on video. There is a worship guide with a link here in the video post that you can print out or pull up on a device. It has words and music so that you can sing with us and pray with us as we worship together. So let us worship now. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Gracious Christ, you came to the fishermen when the prophet John was taken away. Come to us now, as we fear losses of our own. Grant us courage to cast aside the nets that bind us, to follow you into true freedom and newness of life. Help us to be faithful disciples, that we might inspire others to follow in your ways. Amen.
Venido a la orilla. Our Bible reading for today is taken from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 and verse 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring on them. And he did not do it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading is from Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As we're gathered in worship today, I want to share with you news of our church family, of the death of longtime church member Ruth Gale. Ruth died at the age of 97 on December 20th, and though her health has made it impossible for her to be here in person much in the last few years, she has been a part of our congregation since the 1950s. She joined in 1953. She and her late husband, Austin, were very involved in the congregation. She loved music and participating in the life of the church. She was a graduate of the University of Ohio, who worked in math and engineering in the early aircraft industry. Her skills in math and science helped her both oversee a supersonic lab at MIT and be the person assigned cake cutting at receptions here at the church because, as her kids said, she was the best at geometry. I give thanks to God for her life and pray comfort for all of those who grieve her passing, including her three children and two grandchildren. We're planning a Zoom memorial for her on February 20th. We're finalizing details now, and we'll send an email during this next week with those and other details about her life. I give thanks to God for the life of Ruth Gale. Will you join me in prayer? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. In your name we pray. Amen. This Sunday, as we continue our series, Redefining Faith, I've chosen a word that's very ordinary and also an important part of how we see our work as disciples of Jesus Christ. The word is follow. And our gospel text for today has both Jesus using this word as an invitation and tells of the disciples doing this, following, at the beginning of his adult ministry, inviting others with him as followers. But we've chosen a second text, too, from our lectionary texts for the day, from the book of Jonah. And I should confess again that I have a special love for the book of Jonah. It's the name that my husband and I gave to our son. It is a book that is full of ideas worth wrestling with and invitations to see in the challenges before us in this day, a companion who was both prophet and resistant to the work that he was called to. You know details of the story of Jonah, most famously the 3 days he spent in the belly of a big fish or whale that was occasioned because of his resistance to go where God was calling him. You remember how at the beginning of the story, God called Jonah to go and preach to the city of Nineveh about how God was going to destroy the city. Now, prophets always preach these words of doom because they have hope that things might change. They're not merely describing a fixed outcome, but preaching about what consequences are ahead if people don't change their ways. And Jonah did not want to change the ways of the people of Nineveh. He did not like the people of Nineveh. They were the enemy to Jonah and his community. The Assyrians had long been in tension and in rivalry over land and power, and Jonah had no desire to save them. So he fled in the other direction on a ship. The storm was so great that finally he was awakened from the place where he was sleeping, confessed that he was the one fleeing God, and thrown overboard, where the big fish or whale swallows him up. And he sits for 3 days in the belly of that sea beast until he's finally spit up on land and finally decides to go to Nineveh. The text that Yinka read for us today tells of the moment when Jonah gets to Nineveh. It gives us the text of his sermon as God gives him words to preach, the short sermon, simple words of coming doom. And after he preaches them, the whole of the city, from the most powerful to the least, including the animals, repents, and then God changes God's mind. Jonah is a story of a prophet called to something the prophet wasn't very much interested in doing. And I have sympathy for Jonah in a new way at this moment in the life of the world. In the midst of pandemic, I feel myself getting better at things I don't want to be good at. I don't want to be good at doing virtual church. I want to return to in-person ministry and being able to see and be with the congregation together. I don't want to get good at doing things over Zoom. I want to return to ministry where we can shake each other's hand and share a meal and a hug. Jonah certainly did not want to be good at preaching to Nineveh. It wasn't his choice for how to live out his vocation. But as we think about what it means to follow, I'm struck by how powerfully this has been true in my life and the life of the world. Last week during follow-up, this was a conversation I had with some of you and my dad who participated from Colorado. As we called to mind our experiences, that God seems to do an especially powerful work when we find ourselves in situations we wouldn't have chosen. Now, when I was a kid, I remember dreaming about what I would do when I grew up. When I entered seminary and decided to pursue a call to ordained ministry, I remember dreaming about the kind of leadership I would offer, and I didn't imagine or hope for the opportunity to be a pastor during a pandemic. And yet, here I am, here we are. And it's in the midst of the realities of the world that I wouldn't have imagined this calling, but the gifts that God has given me, the gifts that God has given us as a congregation, they become real and powerful because they have something to offer into this moment of great need. In the world today, we are invited to deal with reality as it is and offer something that is hope and life. And this is what it means to follow a call for God, not the call that we wrote an essay about in grade school as we dreamed about what we could be when we grew up, not the call that's the job or career that we thought we would follow, but the call that comes as we let our expertise and our faith and our values give us a way to be in this moment that's never been before. There's a sense of pioneering, of innovation in this moment in the life of the world that makes it a strange occasion to think about the word follow. Because often follow has this connotation of emulating what's been before or obeying or copying what has already been done. But this moment in the world invites us to think about a different way of understanding what it means to follow, that's not merely to replicate what has been, but is an occasion to stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before, who've showed us what it looks like to be brave and courageous, daring and vulnerable in the midst of the needs of the world. And so today we become the people who follow this path that generations before have laid for us, even as it leads us to a place we've never yet been. When Jesus says to those fishermen there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, "Follow me," he's giving them a wild invitation that is to emulate him, to do the things that he does. And in this first chapter of Mark, that includes radical activity, baptizing and repenting, healing and teaching. Here, as he invites these fishermen to be the disciple followers of the Son of God, he's setting a model for what it means for all of us in our ordinary lives to do the things that Jesus did, to be a presence of repentance and reconciliation, of life and healing and hope, of work to overcome our divisions and give liberty and life to one another. As we read this story today, it occasions us to examine how we understand and use the word follow. It invites us into contemplation of what it implies in relationship to time and space. And this passage from Mark's gospel is one full of openings for contemplating a different way of understanding time and space. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has come near, Jesus preaches. Time is fulfilled. He uses images that evoke space and spaciousness and also temporality as he declares something about a kingdom that exists both in this time and beyond it, both in this space and somehow more. The kingdom of God, which comes to us with an invitation to follow into it, invites us to dare to believe that we are in pursuit of something good and beautiful, of something just and lovely. The kingdom of God is at hand. Time is fulfilled, and immediately, Jesus goes about the work of calling the disciples. Mark's gospel, the shortest of all of the gospels, the first written of all the gospels, is full of action. Mark uses the word immediately more than the others. There's a sense of urgency, but it's not a sense of a limited urgency, that there was a narrow window in which people could pursue God. It's an immediacy that invites us here and now not to delay, not to defer, but in this moment, in this place, in the context and reality that we would have never chosen for ourselves. This time is the time in which we are invited to follow Jesus. It's a strange thing to think about innovating and following together. We sometimes talk about following, especially in our individualistic culture that prizes originality and innovation. We talk about following as a sort of pale imitation of the original, although we rejoice in accumulating followers on our social media feeds. We also think about following in the footsteps of great leaders. And as we mourn the loss of loved ones in our families and communities, we think of following the way they're going, but we know it doesn't end with the end of their earthly lives. We follow in their footsteps, and we know that it takes us further down another path. Following, then, is an invitation not just to be what was, but to dare to dream what can be, that reckons with the past in a powerful way. I've been sitting this week since Wednesday morning with the words of poetry spoken by inaugural poet Amanda Gorman, who at her young age sees with eyes of wisdom and clarity and puts into eloquent word a framing of what it means to accept the challenge of following in this time toward a future we've not yet fully imagined. I was moved in particular by this line in her poem. Because being American is more than a pride we inherit. It's the past we step into and how we repair it. We've seen a force that would shatter our nation rather than share it, would destroy our country if it meant delaying democracy, and this effort very nearly succeeded. I'm struck by the power of this image. It's the past we step into and how we repair it. The work of following honors that we stand in continuity and community with those who've gone before us, both those we're proud of and those whose choices and values we are ashamed of. We follow in the footsteps of all those who've gone before us, and our task today is to make choices and to take actions and to move boldly into a next step that speaks into the hope and love and justice of God. I've been moved by the attention given to Amanda Gorman in the days since the inauguration, new attention into her work of using word to speak into the life of this world and the very clear reality of these moments we inhabit together. But I'm struck also by a new awareness that she is not one alone doing this work of using word to create worlds. She speaks in a tradition of spoken word poetry that's rich with excellence that comes especially from Black voices and other voices of color whose artistry and poetry we need. She is a reminder of how important it is for us to follow and listen not only to her voice, but to so many voices that have been too often pushed to the edges. These artists and poets, like prophets in the ancient days, speak into this moment in a way that draws us forward. I was inspired to hear more of Gorman's story, and especially grateful to learn a mantra that she repeats before reciting poetry in public. She says this: "I am the daughter of Black writers. We are descended from freedom fighters who broke their chains and changed the world. They call." She knows that she is not walking alone, but following a path, standing on the shoulders of generations of courageous, faithful leaders who fought against oppression and stood up for dignity and rights, whose poetry and artistry is a gift to us all and helps us know who we can be next. So the call this morning of following is a call to us together, that invites us to reflect on what has been and also to become what we can be by listening to one another, by hearing and heeding voices that have been excluded, by daring to pursue a possibility of justice that is only yet becoming real in our midst. The call to follow Jesus is a call to hopefulness and belief, to claiming that we are the ones who can do this thing that Jesus did, who can bring salvation like a salve to a broken world, who can bring hope out of despair and life even out of death. Our work is a work of following that takes us to a place we've never been, a place of hope and life, of truth and beauty and joy. May it be so. Amen.
Strength, such a light as shows a feast, such a feast as mends in length, such a strength as makes his guest.
Good morning. I'm offering the prayers of the people today, and if you feel comfortable, at the end I would invite you to join with me in saying the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. God, today we turn our hearts and minds toward thinking about the theme of following. We also reflect on the story of Jonah today and the story where you reveal a part of yourself that's so important to us, God, of seeing that you have exposed yourself in vulnerability and openness even to the degree that you would change your mind. We want to be a people that follow you. We want to be a people that exhibit that same nature of reflecting openly and honestly and not just respecting where we've come from and the history behind us, but also thinking critically as we follow about recognizing the way that we ought to be different, that your church ought to be different, that the world ought to be different. This week, God, we heard from another prophetic, poetic voice, Amanda Gorman. She reminded us that our past, this history, is not just something we inherit, that it is a past we step into and how we repair it. God, we want to be a people who are participating in the activity of repair, in your holy repair of bringing life into a broken world. Help us, God, to be people who follow you, people who respect and follow the holy and noble hearts who've come before us, but also people who are attuned to the new direction that you are calling, in which you are calling us to go. Because of our time together today, God, may our hearts be a little more calibrated to that direction that you want us to walk in. And now, God, hear us as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us for worship today. I hope you felt the presence of God where you are and in our community together. And as always, I invite you to take steps deeper in your life of faith as we seek to more faithfully do the work of the church, of doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly with God. Our e-news, which comes out every Friday, has information about how to do that. I invite you to read it. If you're not on the list, I hope you'll sign up or share prayer concerns with us at westwoodumc.org/connect. We have a follow-up conversation this morning by Zoom. The link is in the e-news. It's an opportunity to connect together with others in conversation following on the ideas of worship this morning. I have found it to be a place of a gift of connection and grace, and so I invite you to join us. I do want to share with you prayers this morning for these two prayer shawls that I have with me. Blue and gray one is for Sherry Birch's brother Mike, as he deals with grief at the passing of his husband Joe. We pray that God's peace and comfort would be with Mike and all those who grieve for Joe. This warm colored shawl is for Lauren Shoemaker, a friend of Bevan Bryden Shirk, whose mother was recently diagnosed with an aggressive form of ALS and moved into hospice care. Lauren has moved into her mother's home and adapted to be able to work from that space. We pray for her as she carries all those responsibilities of life and care, and we pray for her mother, Jane, in these moments. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we pray that you would pour out your blessing, your healing and hope and life, your comfort and strength on Lauren and Jane, on Mike and so many others who grieve for the loss of Joe. We pray that you would give your peace, which passes all understanding, to them and all in need. Amen. And now, as Christ's body, the church, I pray that you would have strength and courage, joy and commitment to follow, to lead, to walk, to stand on the shoulders of so many who've come before, and to trust in the kingdom unfolding before us even now. Be in peace. Amen.